columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
One of the most divisive topics in sports says, you don't want to do play-by-play on that step back, jab, 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 pull back, pop, pop. Did a Jokic pop, pop three times, go left, right, poof. Net. You saw it.
Stokely threw a water bottle in the garbage can.
You saw it.
Act like
you've
been there.
Not off the backboard.
Act like you've been there before.
Not off the backboard. Straight in after three jabs, couple head fakes, fade away. Looked like Jokic hitting that game winner the other night.
That's a 40-piece!
Yes! Give me some of that! Do we have any more of those clips? We
That's 59 points. That's 9 more than 50.
Oh my God. When did you get a list? That's 59 points!
I do have a slight lisp that rears its head once in a while.
Once that bottle of wine starts going down. That might be... I'm serious. That's my favorite video.
Oh,
I love it.
Oh, Lord.
Give me that 40-piece again, please.
That's a 40-piece!
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Oh, my gosh. How about our guy here? How about our guy? This conversation has literally been happening for 3 decades now. Can't make it up. In a petition sent to Major League Baseball's commissioner office and obtained by ESPN, Pete Rose lawyers are arguing that Rob Manfred has recently opted not to punish players guilty of major game-changing rules infractions and, as a result, is used as evidence that should end Pete Rose's 30-and-a-half-year ban for gambling on baseball while he was manager of the Cincinnati Reds. The lawyers for Pete Rose's lifetime ban, they said it's vastly disproportionate when compared with Major League Baseball's punishments of players who took performance-enhancing drugs and the players involved in the sign-stealing scheme by the 2017 Houston Astros. The quote is, quote, there cannot be one set of rules for Mr. Rose and another for everyone else, Rose's 20-page petition for reinstatement says. Quote, no objective standard or categorization of the rules violations committed by Mr. Rose can distinguish his violations from those that have incurred substantially less severe penalties from Major League Baseball, end quote. Pete Rose is also seeking a meeting with Commissioner Rob Manfred. Is it time? Is it time? You know, before I hear your answer, a lot of times we say if a guy really screws up and he goes to prison and he gets out of prison and they'll say he's paid his debt to society.
Right.
We should give him a second chance. This is not an exact congruent analogy, but I'll ask you, with all this stuff, the steroid era, all this sign stealing, when you compare what Pete Rose did, has he paid his debt to baseball after 30-and-a-half years of being banned from the sport?
Is this a Bearcat Gym segment? You're doing this for Bearcat Gym.
It may
You're trying
be.
To suck up to Bearcat Gym so you can get another 4th of July invite.
I'm standard on that list now. I'm going to fight for that one.
I thought you dropped to the bottom. You just moved on up. I guarantee you that. Yes, he has paid his debt. It's time to let Pete in. I think the problem here, Pete dug himself such a big hole, lie after lie after lie, committing to it, you know, just sticking to his story of not doing it, not doing it, not, you know, just over and over again. And I think that's what's really keeping him out right now. On top of everything, if he would have came out and just been honest to start with, I think by now they would have forgiven him and he would be eligible and he probably would be in. So I think that ultimately is what has hurt him to this day. But I think now you take a step back and you look, okay, that was a long time ago. He's paid his price. It's time for everybody to move on. He was one of baseball's all-time greats, and it's just time to move on. You know, you look at gambling now, and it's becoming legal all over the place. And, yeah, he made a big mistake. He's paid the price, okay?
He's paid a big price.
A huge price. We all understand that. We all understand what he did. And I think it was just when he was a manager, and he always bet with his team or whatever. Okay, long time ago, paid his price. Time for everybody to move on. Let the all-time hits king in Major League Baseball into the Hall of Fame. That's my viewpoint. What do you think?
I 1,000% agree with everything that you just said. I think that, yes, he dug his heels in, probably cost himself another decade or so. But I think it's time. And I think, and I'm not saying that two wrongs make a right, but look what's happened in baseball in the last 20 years. I mean, the exposing of the steroid era really tainting an entire generation of players. Then you look at the science dealing scandal and just how real it was. And you have A.J. Hinch now saying that it's a fair question to ask whether their championship, I don't know if you saw that yesterday.
No.
He did an interview and said, they said, should we be looking at your championship as a tainted championship? And he said, it's a fair question to ask. I mean, think about that. That's the manager of the club. Kind of like in a roundabout way, doing like a mea culpa. Like if you can say that, if you can say it's reasonable to ask that question, well, golly, these are the world champions. And I think it's part of baseball's story now. And I think Pete Rose is a part of baseball's story. He screwed up in a big way. And he's been living, if I can quote the title of his book, he's been living in a prison without like bars. Did he handle himself the right way? Nope. Over and over and over again. Lied. Would camp outside baseball events and, you know, came across like a putz, to be totally honest with you.
Putz? I haven't heard that one in a while. It's an oldie but goldie there. Wow.
but at the same time, I think there's something to be said for forgiveness. Like, I think as a baseball community, like, can we forgive? I mean, we're moving on from the steroid era. We're not taking down the banners of the Astros.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. It's just time to, he's paid a big price, certainly. And I think it's just time to move on and let him in. I just think it's gone on long enough. Everybody knows what's happened here. Everybody knows he lied about it. Okay. It's out there. He's asked for forgiveness, I think.
He has.
Yeah.
He
so has. It's like, okay, I got it. You made a big mistake and you have paid a big, big price here. He has paid a huge price for that.
It's tainted his whole legacy, his whole reputation.
Yeah, I think baseball needs to kind of get over themselves a little bit. Like they're holier than everybody else and they're, you know, the almighty here and we don't do anything wrong. And you look at everything that they've done wrong in baseball with the steroid era and just like turning a blind eye because all these guys are hitting balls and people out of the park and people want to see it. Well, we don't care. We'll let them take whatever they want. Right. You know, Astros doing whatever they were doing and all these different things. And then you're going to just, you know, throw the key away on Pete Rose. I mean, come on. Give me a break, baseball.
So he had a little action behind his guys.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
You know?
50 years ago.
Right.
Get over it.
All right. We're on the same page with that. All right. This weekend, we're going to get an opportunity to see the new look Denver Nuggets. And just how much truly did they get done at the trade deadline? We're going to hear from our guy Matt Moore next. This is how we do it. I'll say this. This was my first ever, like, favorite song.
Montel J?
It was like, I don't know what year it was, like, around the, like, 1994. I was probably, like, 7. And I used to have
That's unbelievable. I was graduating high school.
Yep. And we used to have a, you know, 8-track player in the house.
8-track.
And, like a cassette. Like a cassette player.
Yeah, it's not an 8-track.
So a cassette player. And my mom would have these tapes, like these Christian tapes with like choirs and stuff singing.
You taped over it.
I popped that thing in when she was gone. I put it to Fly 92. I hit record when Montel Jordan came on. I'll be bumping that thing around the house when she wasn't around.
What happened to my Christian music, Zachary?
So once upon a time in 94. All right. Matt Moore joins us presented by Budweiser here. Appreciate you stopping by again. I wanted to check back in. Post-trade deadline, we talked after the initial seismic trade went down. But after all the smoke settles, Matt, do you have the same sort of sentiment about the deadline as you did the last time we talked?
Yeah, I just think when you look at it, the 9-man rotation is still intact. That was what they were always planning on. They've kind of split the assets that Malik Beasley and Juancho Hernan Gomez brought and divide them amongst several players. And they've added something else for future trades. And that kind of wraps up what they were able to pull off at the deadline.
Matt, looking at the situation, you know, when we were talking about they made that one move and we're hoping it would spring to another move right before the trade deadline. That move never happened. Do you think the Nuggets were trying hard? It just didn't work. Do you think they were being more conservative there? How did that last day play out for the Nuggets?
My understanding is that they were very close to a considerable deal. I don't have the particulars on it, but I know that they were in talks for a major significant upgrade, and I think that's probably going to come at some point. I think there are changes to be had for this roster and this team. I think that Michael Porter Jr.'s emergence has a little bit to do with that. I expect the roster to be considerably different next year for the Nuggets. I think this is the last time to kind of go through and see what this team can accomplish before major changes come in the summer.
And you mentioned that major changes coming in the summer. I was asked about this yesterday, hanging out with our afternoon drive show, and they said, so what is this about? And my guess is, and here I'm just spitballing and jump in and give your thoughts here, and react to it. But the acquiring of this first round pick from the Rockets, it's not necessarily about picking a human being at that spot, but maybe using it as ammunition along with 2021's first round pick, maybe a Nuggets player in exchange for whoever, and maybe not the exact person, but whatever caliber player that they didn't get at the deadline to move forward with next year.
Yeah, I would expect them to be very busy on draft night. I think a lot of teams are going to be in the market on draft night, and I think the Nuggets will be among them. I think they're looking for a player of starter caliber. I think they feel good about where they're at. I think they feel good about this roster and what it can accomplish. I think they like the upgrades that they got. Jordan McRae is a sneaky good piece they picked up at the deadline. But I do think that, you know, look, Michael Porter Jr., with how he's played, will require the Nuggets to rethink long-term planning. And they'll reach a point where they decide to finally, quote unquote, go for it, to really jump off a cliff and pursue winning with this group. But you have to make sure you time it right, because if you miss on it, you only get to do it once. You only get to spend your assets really once. And I think that day is coming soon, but it's not quite yet here for the Nuggets.
And if they were to, quote unquote, go for it, again, just spitballing, I'm not going to hold you to it, but what does, quote unquote, going for it look like?
I think it's using more than one draft pick to acquire a starter type upgrade. It's going for a player on another team that would provide either round out the team or find another weapon, whatever it is. I think that's what they would be going for. It's look, this front office has been very, very patient with its rebuild, and it's worked out great. And you know, spending those assets, I think, is something they take very, very carefully. And I think that they're very high on what this team can achieve as it stands. They feel good about their ability to contend right now. But I think eventually there will be a point where they sense an opportunity and will have to, you know, sacrifice the future assets in order to really get an upgrade.
We're joined by Matt Moore, presented by Budweiser. Matt, give me some updates here on the injury front. What's going on with Michael Porter Jr., et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
My understanding, MPJ was out and warming up the other night, but he should be back soon, but they may hold him out until the All-Star break just to be sure. The MPJ is not – they're being overly cautious on purpose with MPJ. They also have wings, so they can afford to be. Gary Harris and Jamal Murray are both back, and then Mason Plumlee should be back by the end of the month, probably maybe even as soon as after the All-Star break. I'm expecting after the All-Star break for them to be pretty close to full health with Paul Millsap. I think we'll be ready sometime in that time frame as well.
Matt, looking ahead, I mean, the Nuggets are off to a terrific start, and here we are at the, you know, midway point of the NBA season. When you look at the Western Conference standings, if I asked you today, on February 7th, who is one team that the Nuggets just do not want to match up with? Who sticks out?
The Lakers is the obvious one. It's not necessarily just because of their overall star power. They're just huge. And the Nuggets struggle with lobs and cuts. And that team has JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis. And trying to disrupt that continuously when you also have to try and deal with LeBron is a little bit of a problem. I think that team in particular is probably the most glaring problem for Denver. I think after the deadline, what's surprising is Houston's move to go totally small benefits the Nuggets in a big way. The Nuggets match up way better with Houston right now than they did before. Clint Capela is such a problem for them. They're better against Houston now. I think they match up well against Utah. We've seen that already. I think they match up well versus the Clippers, actually, with their – they don't have a lot on the interior. I think Jokic could have a huge series versus the Clippers. They match up well with all of these teams at the top of the Western Conference. That's pretty impressive that, you know, for them to be in the spot that they're in, and the matchups don't feel as fraught as they did last year.
Matt, how have the Nuggets done it here, their last eight games? 6-2 in the last eight. You look at how they beat the Jazz. I mean, just like you just has you scratching your head. How have they done it?
I think the biggest thing is in the NBA, the regular season, there are a lot of chances for you to be like, I can let this one go. It's the regular season. There's another game in 2 days. Michael Malone has helped set a tone for the culture of this team that is not how they approach it. Adversity is an opportunity for this team. That's how they view it, is when they're down and they're supposed to be out, that's an opportunity for them to step up, and that's when they play their best. Like we saw it last year after they lost that multi-overtime game versus Portland, everyone's like, oh, they're going to lose this next one. They're exhausted, short rest, game four on the road. They came out and they won in impressive fashion. This team responds to adversity, and that's a testament to their character, but it also speaks to what Michael Malone has instilled in this culture.
Great stuff. Matt Moore, as always, presented by Budweiser. We appreciate you stopping by, man. I know we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, there he goes. Matt Moore of the Action Network. Great stuff. Man, we're just watching the TV here. It was a high school kid on the breakaway who doesn't look more than... He looks 6 foot tall. He looks like you.
He looks like me, but he's pale like you.
And he's on the breakaway, throws it between his legs during a game.
Just mosey on and down on the fast break, and like he stole the ball, and the next thing you know, he's up between the legs. Wham! Like, oh, okay.
Trivia question for you and Steven. Has anyone ever thrown the basketball between their legs during an NBA game? The answer is yes. You remember who did it?
Throwing the ball between their legs
and dunking it during a game.
Well, you got to finish the sentence.
During a game, throwing it between your legs wasn't Vince.
Give me till come off on the other side. I'll think about it.
He played at Iowa. He used to have braids.
Oh goodness,
Ricky Davis, throwing it off his own backboard for a triple double. The one and the only.
Never remember that one again.
By the way, the Denver Nuggets.
Bunch about nothing there.
Their division. The Jazz, the Thunder, the Blazers, the Timberwolves, they still have not lost a game in division this year. Can you believe that? 9-0. Only the Milwaukee Bucks are the only team that's unbeaten
in
division.
That's impressive.
A couple playoff teams in there.
Yeah.
Thunder, Jazz, really impressive. Shout out to Ricky D. I still love you, Ricky. You signed that dollar bill for me back in 2009. And we spent it later that night at the bar. That's a true story.
Poor Ricky. Come on, man. You got to hold on to that at least for a week.
Okay. Someone at ESPN thinks that the Broncos will be the most active team in the entire National Football League this offseason. We'll tell you who said what next.
Whatever it takes.
Let them know, Peyton.
Whatever it takes.
Absolutely love it.
Oh, I don't know if I love it, but
I genuinely like it. And my mother-in-law loves when it comes on her XM radio station.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that.
I don't know, man. That's a banger. That's a banger.
I don't know about that.
I think it sounds good. Payne did a good job.
Okay. He did okay.
ESPN. It was Jeff Legwald. These guys were asked to make a bold prediction. All of their, you know, NFL Nation reporters are asked to make a bold prediction for their respective teams. And Leggy, who obviously covers the Broncos here for quite some time, thinks that the Broncos will be the most active team this offseason. He says, quote, if the Broncos are going to break their streak of three consecutive losing seasons, their first such streak since the 1970s, John Elway will have to do the best work in his front office career. The Broncos have the biggest combination of cap space and draft picks since Elway took over in 2011. They will certainly be willing to make trades during the draft, but the Chiefs are the Super Bowl champions with a 24-year-old franchise quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. So this is also about improving and playing the long game. The Broncos will finish out the draft with the largest class in Elway's tenure as the top football decision maker to help bolster a roster that has needs in the secondary, offensive line, linebacker, and wide receiver, end quote. By the way, when it comes to the needs of the Broncos, what's the most glaring for you of the ones that Legwell put out there, that final sentence? The secondary, the offensive line, linebacker, or wide receiver?
I don't think linebacker. I take that one out right away. I think you look at wide receiver, offensive line, and secondary. And I would probably have to say offensive line. We just got to keep building that thing up. We got a young quarterback, and the best way to help him out is by protecting him, not getting him hit. And so just keep on building up that offensive line. And then I think you can go secondary, wide receiver, like tied for second, like right up there. Like, we're going to need secondary help. We're going to need more wide receivers to put around Drew Lock. So, and I liked some of those guys that were playing in the secondary when we were all banged up over there. I mean, I liked what I saw from some of those guys. Young guys that got thrown in the mix. And
Devontae Harris.
Bosby. I don't know with the neck with him, if he'll ever be able to play again, what that situation is. But I thought some of them came in and did a good job. The guy we got from New England, forgot his name. We traded for him. He was a former second-round pick like 2 years ago.
Duke Dawson.
Yes, Duke Dawson.
From Florida.
Yeah, look, so some of these guys came in and played decent for young football players. So I want to continue to watch them, and we'll see what happens.
You know,
Chris Harris.
You know a name that you didn't say is Isaac Yiadom.
Yeah, another guy.
I feel like this is a make-or-break year for Isaac Yiadom.
I think yes. He's got to show up and do something. He's had a lot of opportunities.
He has.
It's time for him to put up or shut up. Unfortunately, this is going to be his year to either show that he can play in the NFL or he'll be, you know, finding his way out of the league here shortly.
We'll switch him to wideout. Don't even worry about it.
Stop. Wait, huh? He's going to wideout. Oh, I didn't know that.
News to me.
News to me. Vic. And Bryce Callahan. How about him? Hopefully he can contribute a little bit.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens with Chris Harris. So I think offensive line, I think wide receiver, and then obviously secondary. And Justin Simmons, we don't know what's going to happen with him either. So more so than linebackers, probably the third tier there.
I can't believe we stumbled upon a stud linebacker. Just absolutely stumbled upon A.J. Johnson. I saw he was named among Pro Football Focus 100 best NFL players, according to, you know, their grades and however they come to that conclusion. I just can't believe it that the Broncos passed on, homeboy's name in Pittsburgh.
Devin White?
Devin Bush. Passed on Devin Bush for the franchise tight end and just stumble into a potential franchise linebacker. And I wonder what we got to remember, he wasn't starting at the beginning of the season.
No.
He came in like after week four, I want to say. Maybe after the Jags game, week four. I think he started playing week five. So what does it look like through an entire offseason with him being the guy and just year two of Vic's defense? That's exciting. That's exciting. But this idea from Legwald that the Broncos could be the number one most active team in the offseason, it's not that crazy.
No, not at all. You got a lot of cap room. John doesn't want to, you know, invest this money right now for 2-3 years down the road. No, he wants to win now. We've had three losing seasons in a row. So what does that mean? Spin to have upgrades to help your football team win now. It's not about 3 years down the road. It's about now. It's about putting pieces around Drew Lock. It's about winning football games. It's about having a winning season. It's about getting to the playoffs. So what do you have to do? You have to spend money. and you have money to spend. John ain't saving any money this year. Like, he's going to be aggressive, and he's going to attack free agency, and he's going to spend some money. So, yeah, I agree with Legwall there. What do you think? I mean, do you think he's going to be aggressive, John Elway, this offseason?
Yeah, I think it's foot on the gas, no break.
Yeah.
And here's to also keep in mind, and I think could be a contributing factor for his mindset going into these moves, what moves he will make, is that he's only got two more years left on his contract. That's it.
Yes.
He's going to try to spike the football on the way out here. So what does it look like leading up to that point?
And that's what I'm saying. Like, he's not planning for 3 years down the road. That's not what he's doing right now. 4 years down the road. Okay, we got our quarterback that we hope's the future now, so I don't have to worry about that. I think we can actually win now without me having to worry about picking a quarterback or trading for one or going to find a veteran guy. It's just set up for him to be uber aggressive here. What do you think about the other one, though? When you look at what needs this football team has, the greatest needs, and Legwall was secondary, offensive line, linebacker, wide receiver. How do you rank them?
I'll go offensive line number one, wide receiver number two, secondary number three, linebacker number four.
I like that.
In that order.
I like that. Sounds good to me. I mean, I think D-tackle should be on there in front of linebacker.
Yes. Yes.
Defensive tackle, I'm talking about like defensive ends in the 3-4, Wolf, Shelby Harris, both those guys are free agents. We have Draymond Jones, you know, coming up the pipeline here. But other than that, we're going to need some more depth there if we don't sign those two. And I could see very easily both those two walking this year.
Yeah,
so
agreed.
You're going to need to bolster that defensive end position, whether free agency or draft.
Maybe next week we go over like position group by position group priorities for the Broncos, starting with position A, number one, and moving right down.
Sounds good to me, Zach.
And just really take a snapshot of where this football team is at. But it's interesting that we are on the right track. We know that. Is it, you know, Legwald in this piece here on ESPN.com references the Chiefs and the 24-year-old quarterback and Mahomes. So this is also about improvement and playing the long game. Got to be careful that you're not over-aggressive in the Band-Aid category.
Yeah.
Because this is about long-standing success as well as, you know, trying to win immediately.
Sure, but like if you go out, let's just say, and you get up Eric Armstead. I mean, the guy's 26 years old.
Sure.
So to me, that's not a Band-Aid. You know, that's a guy that's in his prime. Band-Aid is going back and getting a guy like Emmanuel Sanders in the downside of his career.
Is a Band-Aid re-signing Chris Harris?
That's right where I was going. Could be.
Like, if this thing is about a long-term game, right, as Legwalt stealing that quote, playing the long game, is Chris Harris Jr. part of that? On the backside of 30, coming off his least productive season ever, do you really want to get all the way back into bed with some major money that he's going to command? I don't know about that.
But see, I don't think John's looking at it from that point of view. I don't think he's looking at the long game here. I don't think he's playing that in his mind. He's looking at the next couple years. You know, he's only here for two or three more years on his contract. So he's looking at the here and the now. We just had three losing football seasons in a row. He doesn't want to make it four. So you know what? I think he says, forget it. If I have to Band-Aid a few things up, guess what? I'm going to Band-Aid a few things up because I want to win now. I don't care about 4 years from now. That's doing me no good. I don't know where I'm going to be. It's about winning now. So the long view for John Elway, I don't think that's in play at all. I think it's about the here, the now, and it's about not having another losing season.
Well, I'll say this. I think it should be about the long game as much as it is about this coming year. Because I think we're both on the same page that the Broncos aren't going to be playing for a Super Bowl next year. And, gosh, I would love to put my foot in my mouth with that one. But I just reasonably looking at it am not considering the Broncos a Super Bowl contender. Keep contributing to the 401k. Keep building it the right way. If you find something that there's a stock that's fallen the way that WWE stock just dropped 20%, I'll tell you, be hungry, hop on it. Don't bet against Vince.
Don't go against Vince.
No, but my one buddy texted me yesterday morning. He goes, hey, it's everywhere. WWE just fired both of their presidents. Their stock is down 20%. People are panicking. They're a publicly traded company, billion-dollar company. if you see something like that in free agency where it's opportunity to strike and say, I think that we're going to, okay, I'm cool with that Band-Aid. But keep building this the right way.
I think, you know, you look at the draft picks that you have, so you're still going to have a lot of influx of young football players on this team. But I think when it comes to spending the money, they're not going to be like looking to carry over a bunch of money, say like the Indianapolis Colts did from last year to this year.
Sure.
They had a ton of money to spend in free agency. They didn't do a whole lot last year. The Broncos have a ton of money to spend. I think they're going to spend the bulk of it rather than saying, okay, we're just going to, we're going to wait on $30 million and carry that over to the following year. I think they're going to spend. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to, you know, go for some players for impact guys, but you got to make sure you get the right impact guys, guys in their prime. Eric Armstead, Amari Cooper, guys like that that are in their prime, that are young football players that aren't, you know, 32, 33 years old that you're overpaying for because you've missed out on, you know, right tackle year after year after year after year. So I think that the long term will still be here, and we've done that a little bit with some of these nice draft picks that we have on the offensive side of the football. But also, it will be here through the draft this year with all the picks, but also there's going to be an influx of veteran players because money will be spent.
Sure. Hey, go spend it. Just make sure it's not, you know, the end of the weekend in Vegas and your pockets are empty and you're like, oh, I have nothing to show for it. We're not signing Aqib Talib to come here and play safety.
You know, brought back bad memories there. That's me every time I'm in Vegas.
When the ATM cuts you off, you know you're in trouble.
I don't even do the ATM. I've already told you that.
Right.
I've never done the ATM. And it's a lonely feeling when everybody leaves you and you're just staying down there. And then you stumble up to the room at 3 o'clock in the morning, you got a 7 o'clock flight, and you got no money in your pockets. Thanks a lot, Joel Dreesen.
That was Las Vegas trip. Me and Joel had a good time. Burning bright.
Oh, man.
Burning hot
but
and bright.
But that's a bad next morning.
Yeah.
It's a bad next morning, Zach. You don't want to be that person.
It's just keep going about it the right way. The Broncos have been on the right track. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Laying brick by brick, and soon enough you're going to look at a foundation that's built that you'll be able to build upon.
And then the wife asks you, "How'd you do?" I just got a headache, and I not good. How much did you lose? I don't even know. You know, please just stop. I'm already depressed right now as it is. That's it. That's just an awful feeling. Did you win? No. I lost, and I'm tired, and I got a headache, and we got to get on this flight.
Right.
Oh, that is a bad next day, Zach.
Oh, Lord. I've been to Vegas one time. I got to call a game at UNLV there in the Thomas Mack
Center. Yeah, nice place.
Oh, awesome. What an experience. Vegas is, that is an adult Disneyland right there.
Yeah.
I'll be back at some point. And I'm going to be back with Avengers, you mark my words.
I love it.
We've said this before. We're talking about what's next for the Broncos in this class of free agency. Don't forget we are inheriting our own free agents from a year ago that didn't play, hopefully. So,
right.
So we're talking about the most draft capital. Yes, the most draft money. But also the reintegration of Bryce Callahan and Juwan James. Hopefully this is the greatest, if you include those guys, this is the greatest free agency class that we've had around here in many years. And it's not really that unreasonable to think. It's really not.
No, it's not. You get a couple difference makers and those guys step up and are able to stay healthy and play for you. Man, I mean, this team could look totally different next year.
It could. And we're painting a picture with real paint that's here. We're not making it up.
It's here. I mean,
went over to the start of the show.
You got to go out there and things have to go your way. Obviously, you know, we got to stay healthy this year in certain areas. We need Vaughn. We need Vaughn to step up and play a little bit better. We need Chubb to hopefully stay healthy. Juwan James, you know, we need those guys to stay healthy. And then you need a couple additions here. You need a couple additions in free agency, a couple pieces there. And then a couple of your draft picks have to play well.
Why can't you sweep the Chargers and the Raiders next year? Why not?
I feel more optimistic. You know, I had them losing that game against Oakland months in advance when the schedule came out.
You did.
The first game of the season.
You did.
That was an L. But I feel so much better moving forward with that matchup than I did last year. Because the Broncos are in a better situation offensively. We got a young quarterback that showed promise. We got an offensive coordinator that's done it before. at a high level that has done it before. And so those two pieces right there have me more optimistic. Vic's defense is Vic's defense, and these guys know it now, and it's going to be a really good defense. So I feel a lot more optimistic. Phillip Rivers is gone. He's not going to be back with the Chargers. So who is their quarterback going to be? So why can't you?
Stokes, someone is calling you out on the RamosLaw.com text line. They said, Stoke, you have Isaiah Simmons, number one on your big board. So how can you say that they don't need a linebacker? What the heck is wrong with you?
Well, I do understand that, but Isaiah Simmons can, you know, Justin Simmons, you're gone. Isaiah Simmons can play safety for you. So he's a guy that can cover the tight end. And with so many 3-4 wide receiver sets here, that's just the perfect guy to throw in the mix there. Third down guy, first and second down, you know, he's playing safety for you. Third down, when you take one of these backers out, which happens a lot, and it happens on first and second down now, that's the guy that comes in for you. So, and it's not only about next year, it's about projecting and, you know, how much longer is Ty Davis is going to be here? How much long, you know what I'm saying? So if you can upgrade that, and also this guy's so versatile, it's a guy that you just don't pass on if he's available. But he won't be available at 15. He's going to be gone. So I think I'm going to readjust my board here shortly because I just don't think he's going to be available.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any scenario where he's going to be available. Those guys are so valuable. A guy that's great against the run, a guy that's a hybrid. He can cover these Kelsey and these guys and as good as anybody because he's got the size to be able to do it. And he also is a guy that, you know, can cover running backs. And so he's one of those guys that's a three-down safety-slash-linebacker hybrid type of football player where you can use him all over the place. So he's not going to just be an inside linebacker for you.
Sure. He's the prototype, the 2020 prototype.
Yeah. Yep. And if you decide not to pay Justin Simmons all that money, you don't have to worry about it.
Ryan on the RamosLaw.com text line says, trade Juwan James for another draft pick and move Wilkinson over draft a guard. You're not going to be able to trade Juwan James.
No.
So, unfortunately, that's just his contract.
You're stuck with him for this year.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. And you just keep your fingers crossed.
And hopefully we're not talking like that six games into the season, being stuck with him. Hopefully we're following him up next year where he'll sure to break our hearts then.
Right. We just give us 1 year.
Just give us one year.
We'll worry about 21 when 21 gets here. But if he can give us 16 games next year or somewhere close to that, that would be a big win for the Broncos. And you paid him a lot of money already. He's not going anywhere. Nobody's trading for him. You get no value. You already have too many picks. I mean, what are you going to trade him for, a fourth or fifth rounder? No, you're stuck with him. So you just keep your fingers crossed that he stays healthy and that he's healthy and that he's emotionally, mentally, physically, everything is on the up and up next year.
Someone says, Zach, the Broncos aren't going to make the Super Bowl. Well, how about you put a tattoo on it? Why does everything come back to a tattoo now?
Yeah, I think just put it on there. They're not going to do it. Like, tear. No, big one. Sure.
Just keep it off my face and maybe we can talk.
Neck.
No, not
throat.
Not
throat.
Wait,
how about
wait,
the throat?
Wait.
Let's
no.
just go get is it Tyson Chandler throat tattoo? Let's get one of those.
Does Tyson have a throat tattoo? I mean, the Birdman.
Wilson Chandler.
He's got a pair of lips on there. It's disgusting. You want to talk about a neck tattoo? How about the goaltender in the National Hockey League, Robin Lehner. He bounced around
Lanier.
Sabres for a little bit. He played for the New York Islanders for one season.
Mm-hmm.
Played pretty well. It was his best season as a pro. He got traded to the Blackhawks. But as an ode to the Islanders, he got...
What is that thing?
Long Island.
Oh, that's a bad...
Tattooed on his neck. He's not from Long Island. He didn't have a 10-year career. He was there for 1 year. And he tatted the island of Long on his neck.
That looks like a grouper or a snapper. It looks like a fish.
It looks like my son with a pen in his hand for the first time. It says, forever imprinted, a place that means the world to me and where I started my new journey.
Oh,
tribute to a
buddy,
great
buddy,
place
buddy.
Filled with great people.
Buddy,
forever
buddy.
Will love the island.
Buddy,
like, bro,
buddy,
you were there
buddy.
For 220
oh,
days. You
goodness.
Tattooed it on your neck?
Oh.
Can't you find other things in life that you love if you
goodness.
Want to throw something on your neck?
Right.
Golly.
You can't even tell what it is. Looks like a fish. It's a bad look, buddy. Come on, man.
Enough, buddy.
Thank you, Juice.
All right.
It's Friday, baby. The snow has stopped. I wonder if I'm going to be able to get my driveway.
I hope you struggle.
You do. You know what? That's good for me. I deserve that. I'll take that today. I deserve it. It is what it is.
Have a great weekend.
Steven,
thanks for everything.
What, Adele's? Way underdressed.
Way underdressed. They'll let us in. All right. Have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Go slow. We got The Drive coming up next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.